From retro myths to modern day masterpieces, we'll be breaking down the universe's most pondered gaming questions. Join us as we journey through our childhood memories. We'll be diving into what it meant to us growing up through the dawn of the internet. The Cake is a Lie podcast with your hosts, Gareth and Jamie.
So, today's episode is Press Start to Save the World, our favorite superhero games. So, before we start into, we're going to do a top three for this, I think. So, before we start in, tell me, what is the highest grossing superhero game? Now, the figures for this aren't official, but you can kind of estimate based on number of sales and so on. But what do you think is the highest grossing superhero games? It's between two titles. Yes, between two titles.
Is it going to be like some? Is it obvious?
It's very obvious.
All right, Spider-Man.
The exact version I need to know, though. The exact version. So the exact game release. Not just the highest grossing like franchise, but the specific game that grossed the most.
Spider-Man or the Marvel?
Which one, Jim? Yeah, like the original or the remake? The first
the
one,
remake.
The 2000s one. The remake. The 2018 remake.
Yeah.
This is supposedly the second highest grossing game, right?
They're both Spider-Man games, aren't they? So this is Spider-Man 2.
No, they're not. One is Spider-Man, right. One is something else.
Batman.
Yes. Which one?
Arkham Asylum.
Arkham City is actually supposed to be the biggest. Apparently more people jumped on for that after Arkham Asylum.
See, I have most of those games and I dabble here and there in them, but I haven't, I couldn't. It's not like, you know, like playing one game and you're like, all right, I know exactly what happened in that one. And then this game, you know, all the titles are Arkham, Arkham City, Arkham Asylum, Return to Arkham, Back to Arkham. It's just, I'm kind of so muddled up between them.
It's a bit of a blur.
I was playing Arkham Asylum. It was the first one, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. So it goes, yeah. Arkham Asylum. Then there was Arkham City. Then you had a shift and you had like this interlude game, which was Arkham Origins, which was technically separate from the three main titles. Uh-huh. So the trilogy is Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight. And then basically you had this Arkham Origins game, and this was made by a different development studio. So Rocksteady didn't make this. Rocksteady gave the assets to Warner Brothers Montreal, I think, studio. Uh-huh. And then the Montreal studio made it, but apparently they were very limited because Arkham Knight was in production at the same time. So there was a lot of ideas they wanted to do in Arkham Origins, but they weren't allowed because the flagship game was Arkham Knights. So they had to leave out a lot of extra stuff. So it's not like fully fleshed out, but it has some kind of different things, which I like a lot. But I think we'll get into it a little bit later.
We'll get into that. All right. Yeah. So what was the second? So Arkham City was the first grossing. Highest grossing, supposedly.
And Superman then, or Spider-Man 2018 was supposedly the second. But it's quite close between the two, and it could be that Spider-Man grossed more, but the figures aren't like official. It's just based on the number of sales, and then you don't know which was on sale when it sold and so on and so on.
Well, so when my new system arrives, I'll be able to get those games. And I'll play
you will.
Yeah, I will.
The new addition to your family arrives.
My new addition, yeah. Sneak it in. At least everything is in red.
It's much overdue, though, because a lot of PC games you're limited with, and you don't have a PlayStation 5, which limits you further than.
Yeah, and even though, like, there's, like, I forgot that Spider-Man was out on Steam, so now that I can actually get that and play it, I'm happy. And the same, like, another game, which I'm going to mention anyway, is on Steam. I do have it, and I was playing it, but again, because of the system I'm currently running, it doesn't run beautifully, so I'll actually have a proper playthrough of it. So we're doing top three. What is your third?
My third. So what's first of all, what's a superhero game to you? Because it's easy to think of Marvel and DC, but going past that a little bit, what's a superhero game to you without giving away your top three? So without naming your top three,
like, what is a superhero?
Yeah, what's a superhero? Because it's easy to say, oh, anything Marvel and DC is a superhero, but there are superhero games outside of just Marvel and DC. So what's involved in a superhero game outside of this?
I think you have to have abilities. You're the main character. You have to be able to kind of, you're saving not so much the world, but you are kind of, you're out there, you're actively saving people. You either have like high-tech equipment or you have special abilities which enables you to perform heroic feats. Mm-hmm. That would be my kind of constitution.
Okay.
Not like, because I was kind of, when I was actually doing this list up, I was like thinking like Tomb Raider, and I was thinking, you know, Indiana Jones. And I was like, well, look, they're heroes, but they're not super heroes.
Yeah. But then it gets into a gray area because you have Batman that doesn't have any powers but has technology and gadgets, right? So when
in a sense, that enables him far. That enables him to have kind of abilities.
He's super intelligent, let's say, if that could be a superpower. But if you take Batman and what he kind of means and stands for, and then you bring him outside of the superhero universe, is he still a superhero?
No.
It's weird.
I think in his world and environment, he is a superhero. But when you like, mm-hmm. when he's in with the likes of Superman, or there's just no contest. He's not a superhero compared to them.
So let's take someone like Judge Dredd, right? Lots of gadgets, lots of weapons, lots of guns, but not inherently superpowered.
I wouldn't call him super.
But he is a superhero.
Is he?
Yeah, but he has a like, comic book. He's a superhero. He's like an anti-hero, I guess, you know?
But is he like, he doesn't have abilities.
No, neither does Batman.
He's just a badass. Yeah, but like Batman's abilities, you know, he's got gadgets, like in that sense, could you say like 007 is a superhero?
Yeah, this is the topic, is it?
Because I mean, it's like, exactly, they're nearly
what's
identical.
What's the difference
like
between Pierce Brosnan, James Bond, right, in all of his movies, and Batman? What's the difference?
More money.
So there's a certain level
Pierce
of
Brosnan. Pierce Brosnan is government funded. That's why he's not as good as Batman.
So you have to be, the prerequisites for a normal superhero are, you have to be privately funded, and there's a certain cutoff point for the wealth.
An imagination. Okay. But I mean, you know, when you think of, and that's the thing actually, that, and I know that's kind of a side slight tangent, like, and then just because we're talking about 007, it's like, I preferred Pierce Brosnan's Bond as opposed to newer ones. I miss gadgets. Like that was just something that was quite iconic.
I miss the kind of the lightheartedness of it as well. Like I'm watching the old Bond movies now with herself, so we got like the collection.
Because you bought
the movies
set, yeah.
Yeah. So we have every Bond movie up until I think it's missing the very last Daniel Craig one, not Craig David, but Daniel Craig. We started with the Pierce Brosnan ones because they're like the core nostalgic memories for me, because we played GoldenEye, played all the games, played 007 Racing, which are heavily Pierce Brosnan inspired. And that for me was kind of peak Bond, where the car and the gadgets were like so, we're very close to Batman if you think about it. Like if you take the
Batman who doesn't use weapons because he's against them, and then he's got two big huge Gatling guns in the back.
Yeah, you know, just like. And if you take Pierce Brosnan's like BMW 7 Series that he has, the silver one in The World Is Not Enough, I think.
World Is Not Enough.
Yeah, and there's this scene where he's in the parking garage and he's driving it on his Nokia phone and stuff. And it's like, this is Batman. Like the thing is like, it can't be broken into. It like electric shocks people that touch it. It's Batman, you know?
Yeah.
And I also like watching back these movies, you know, I always thought of him as like this secret agent, right? But yeah, everywhere he shows up, you know, the opening is like he shows up to some event that he has to infiltrate. He introduces himself as James Bond, and they're like, Mr. Bond, your reputation precedes you. And then it's like, oh, I'm an oil tycoon. And it's like, but how do they know you? It's complete nonsense, but I absolutely love it.
But the thing is, like, especially with like, until Daniel Craig, well, I suppose there was kind of women in that too, where he kind of saves, but like in all the Bond films, they all followed the same kind of, you know, big catastrophic event, he comes in and saves it. They're always an attractive girl that he saves and sleeps with.
But it always starts with like, you know, it starts in like some location and some base, and then it goes to like the headquarters and they're like, our man is inside. And then, you know, you don't see Bond for ages at the start, and it's like this figure sneaking around the base, and then it's like he unveils himself, and it's the same in every movie at the start. And I also like, you know, when they go to Q for the gadgets, and it's really like slapstick comedy going on in the background, and even like John Cleese is the new Q now in the later Brosnan films and stuff. And I think that's missing from the newer ones, because if you go to the Daniel Craig ones, you basically, I don't remember any gadgets from those movies in the cars or anything.
No, the only thing that he sports is a bulletproof Aston Martin. That's kind of the only
thing. It's also, like, there's no... I think he kind of takes himself too seriously as well. I know it's like different genre of Bond and stuff, but you know, for me, it's Pierce Brosnan is like the core.
Who is the new Bond?
Nobody knows. Daniel Craig will be in it, I think.
Oh, no, like he's killed.
A side character. I think he'll be in it.
That'll be weird because...
I didn't see the last one, so if he died, I don't know. But I heard he's in it. Or maybe he's involved or something. I don't know. Directing.
Well, it'd be strange. I think it'd be weird to put a Bond in it. Like,
Could be. I don't know. Let's see. But for me, it's maybe the nostalgia goggles a little bit, but those Pierce Brosnan films are just...
That was really peak Bond for me. I thought he was a brilliant Bond.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so back on topic.
So Bond is a superhero, to sum up.
Bond is Batman.
Bond is Batman, essentially. Just government-funded Batman, that's all. So my number three is a game. I don't think you would have played this, and I'm a little surprised if you haven't, I think. But it's X2 Wolverine's Revenge on the PlayStation 2. That's my number three. Have you played this?
I know I played a Wolverine game, and I remember I'm pretty sure it was actually even just a demo I had of it, but I just remember him in kind of a white tank top, and you're kind of, you're third person, but you're kind of, your perspective is kind of looking down on him.
As if
I'm looking down on the microphone. So you're not like up close, like not super close. You're close enough.
I think this was Wolverine Origins. This was on the 360, I think. PS3.
That's what it was. So yeah,
X2 Wolverine's Revenge was a little bit before. So this was released alongside the second movie, so X-Men 2, right? But basically, it was kind of like an Arkham predecessor, I would say. So it had the same kind of style of combat, but it had a lot of stealth as well. You know, so there was like elements of like not really Splinter Cell, but you got that kind of feeling. So you were sneaking around the base and so on. And it was alongside the X-Men 2 movie, but it was a completely separate thing about Wolverine's, basically his origin. So you start the game where he's just made and he's like, what have you done to me? And then he freaks out and you got to escape the base and all the characters are in it. But they don't look like they do in the movie. They look more like the comic book. And also none of the voices from the movie are in it. But like the cover for the game is him from the movie and it says X2, but I would think of it as like not related. Like, Mark Hamill is the voice of Wolverine in it. So, Luke Skywalker.
Probably does a good voice, though.
Really good. And I actually always thought it was the cartoon voice. I never realized it was not the guy from the cartoon. But, yeah, you have this, like, feral sense, which is kind of like this detective mode, I guess. And then you can see, like, you know, bombs in the floor, like, cameras, viewpoints, and stuff like this. And you basically just sneak around and you can choose to do it really stealthy and do like takedowns, or you can choose to just like slash people.
Go, carnage. Yeah. Tear people asunder.
Now, the combat is not like super refined. It's like hints of Arkham, but the lock-on is quite bad, you know? So like he doesn't like lock on to one person and killing them. It's kind of vague, you know?
You're kind of just in that general vicinity.
Yeah.
I think that's all you need when you've got like, you know, six 12-inch freaking blades hanging off your hands.
Yeah, I think so. But there's some cool things in the game. Like you don't start healing until your claws go in. So in the middle of a fight, you can heal. And then when your claws go in, you can heal. So sometimes in like a big fight, you have to hide and put your claws in and like sneak around a little bit to heal and then continue the fight. But I remember one thing at the start. It's quite clever. There's one thing at the start and it's basically like you're fighting this boss, but just before the boss, you sneak through like a minefield, right? And you have to go into this feral sense vision and there's like mines spinning in the ground everywhere. And if you go near them and touch them, they explode, obviously. And basically, you walk through this mine. It takes ages to get through because they only come up at the last second. So you can only see like a 2-meter radius around you, basically. And when you get through this, then you're fighting like this army sergeant, right? And he's really difficult. It's a really like high difficulty level game. And it was taking me ages to beat him. And what you can actually do is you can lead him back. If you learn where the mines are, you can basically lead him back into the minefield and run around the mine really quick. And no, he dies as soon as he hits one. So like Wolverine it just kills does. him. No, the boss.
Oh,
the
your
boss
man, yeah.
Yeah, because the boss follows
That's what
you.
I thought you were about, yeah, yeah.
And then the boss walks so into
you basically, dies. The first cheese of a boss.
Yeah, exactly. But it's kind of, it's just funny that you could go back into the previous area, bring the boss with you. Because usually, you know, the area would be locked. And
yeah, it would be
in
gated or something, yeah.
Yeah, but you can just go back in and just
Maybe it was
boss.
An oversight.
Could be, because it was a rush development because it had to be released exactly on time with the game, even though they're not really related but anyway. But yeah, that was my number three. I'd recommend it. Check it out.
I'd emulate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we can try it then. My third was Prototype, and now I did put one and two down. Now, I do remember those games. Like, I actually still would watch the cutscenes for the game. Do you know, like, there's the intro trailers for them. They're phenomenal. Yeah, yeah. Like, they still look really good. They hold up. But it was just like another kind of, I suppose, not like a Wolverine kind of origin, but there's kind of hints of that too, because especially in the second one, you essentially have huge claws as well. Mm-hmm. But I just remember, like, when you get, like, your abilities kind of maxed out, you have played Prototype.
I'm just remembering it as you're talking about it. So now that you said, like, the claw thing, I remember your arm can do, like, different things, can't it?
Yeah.
So you unlock more abilities for the arm. So the first one is, like, a sword. Then you can get something that is kind of like Spider-Man and, like, swings off things. Am I right?
Oh,
or it's, like,
you
a
can...
whip or something?
You have one where you've got your kind of, like, big long kind of claw hands. You have one with, like, they look like two kind of pulverizers. So they're, like, huge. Thumps, and you can kind of brute force. You have one ability. Then I think you're right. I think there's kind of like a swordy kind of blade thing, and you have kind of ultimate abilities. Then so you have one where you kind of hunch over, and like the ability kind of charges, and once it explodes, it shoots these tendrils out.
Yes.
Whatever it pierces, and I just remember like those abilities being just mind blowing in the game. I also love the fact that you'd be able to kind of absorb people and you take on their disguise and you can get into different areas and stuff. It was just, it's actually a really, really good game.
I need to play this again because I did play it, but I remember at the time I was kind of like put off by the fact that it wasn't like an official superhero game, if that
makes
sense.
It's really good. And it's good. So I think you're following a guy named Mercer. And I think in the second one, you're a different character. So you have different abilities. Now, most of those abilities are actually from the second one with claw hands and the tendrils. But the second one, I think actually the second game I thought was better. It's kind of starts the same as the first, just in kind of origin. But basically, someone done this to you and you're kind of out to get them then. I think if I remember, there's kind of like aliens. I think there's kind of mutants that you have to go up against in the second one. But like you traverse the map quite fluidly. So you kind of scale up to buildings and you can kind of glide across buildings and onto helicopters and stuff. It's actually really good. It doesn't hold, like it looks a little bit dated, but like visuals, like just with those kind of ultimate abilities, like they're just mind-blowing. Everything goes into slow motion, the camera kind of pans around you and you just see all these tendrils kind of just, you know, reach out and pierce other enemies. And yeah, it's actually well worth the play.
That blows my mind a little bit now because I did have this game when I was younger, but I don't know, I don't remember.
I have
it
on the Xbox and you can download it.
I'm gonna play that 100%.
As for those that don't know, Gareth and I share an account. Basically, we can just cross play our libraries.
System, basically.
Well, it's legal though. It's one of their things.
Yeah, well, it's basically that you're, for anyone who doesn't know, if people have Xboxes, you can set like your friend's Xbox as your home Xbox, and then set their Xbox to your Xbox for their home. So like your home Xbox or your main console is my one, and my main console is technically your one, and then it allows you to play both libraries, essentially.
And if one person has Xbox Live, it's shared across both consoles.
Which is
handy.
It's a bit glitchy, I think. It's like you can only access things a certain way. So if you go into Game Pass, it says you don't have it. But then if you go to all my games, you can see the Game Pass games and you can play them. So it's kind of glitchy in that way. But the online play and everything works. Yeah, it's weird. I think it's an oversight.
Or is it a case
maybe.
That it's only games I put into my library? Does it go to yours, I wonder?
No, it's everything from Game Pass.
All All right.
Yeah, because it's all like accessible games, you know? So it's everything. But what I was going to ask you is, now that we're talking about Prototype, this is like the first non-Marvel DC game we're talking about.
Yeah.
So is Alan Wake a superhero game?
God, no. No.
No?
Well, see, I know because you tasked me with playing that, and I think there's 6 chapters in the game. Or is it 7?
Mm-hmm. 6, I think.
And I'm either just nearly through the 3rd chapter or the 4th chapter. Mm-hmm. Now, I am finding it, because it's not the remastered version, I am finding it a bit tough to go through. It doesn't look terribly bad. It's mm-hmm. just, I think, well, now I'm playing Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, which you should definitely jump into. It's phenomenal.
Is that single player or multiplayer? Single player campaign. Okay.
And it's really just, it's a fun game. It kind of reminds me of like Red Dead Redemption in kind of the world. Mm-hmm. I think Red Dead surpasses it by a lot, but like this coming from, you can tell the developers really cherish everything about this game. And it's really good. Like if you like kind of like the medieval aspect, putting on suits of armor and basically going into hand-to-hand combat with swords and mm-hmm. you know, spears or pole arms, and it's good. It's a really good story too.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
I had the first one and I never got into it, and I'm kicking myself. Like, so as soon as I kind of finish this, because I'm so into it now, I think I'll go back and play the first one again. It's better to have played the first one, obviously, because mm-hmm. there's some of the story kind of loops into it, but it's not the end of the world if you don't, because they kind of drip feed what already happened or took place in the first one.
Sure.
True dialogue within the game. Yeah.
It's like Space Marines 2. It's made accessible for new people as well. You don't need to know the story from before. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It would be handier. I think you'd have a better, I suppose, feeling and mm-hmm. going into the second one with it.
No, I'll check it out for sure.
What was the question?
Alan Wake, not a superhero.
I have the second one ready, installed. I'm wondering, I must look up and see if the second one is actually following the first one. See, my whole my understanding of the Alan Wake 1 is that, so what you've written in the book is kind of manifested, is it, in the real world?
Yeah, so basically you have this writer's block and you arrive at this town, and it's inspired a lot by like Twin Peaks, you know, and there's a show inside the game which is kind of like the Twilight Zone. I think it's called something else, but it's kind of like the Twilight Zone. And it's all about this kind of warped reality type stuff. And there's like this unknown entity, which you don't know about yet, that's beaten by the light, these dark ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of, you're trying to figure out what happened. So at the start, it's just a mess and it's just all over the place. And then things come together slowly and slowly. Mm-hmm. And then you start to, I don't know, did you get to the farmhouse yet?
I think where I am at now was, where am I? There's a guy, I can't remember what character he is, but he is the guy who admittedly kidnapped your wife and he's ransomware against your script.
Yeah, sure.
That's where I'm at.
So, okay. So I won't go too much into
the last part I remember doing was there's a guy stuck in a house and you have to fend off loads of birds. I'm just mm-hmm. beyond that. Sure, so you got into the car and you've driven into the next area now.
Okay.
So you're in your car and you can use your headlamps to burn off.
Sure. So the birds thing was a bit of a drag for me. I thought that kind of slowed things down a little bit. It was a bit painful to play. But after that, it picks up a lot again. So it gets much better. And when you get to the farmhouse, you're in for a treat, because that is just like amazing, the whole thing. From a horror point of view, everything.
I do want to play it to finish it, to say I have it done, but I don't think I'm enjoying it as much as you probably did. And it's maybe because back when you probably played it was when it wasn't long after release.
Just last year.
All right.
On the recommendation of Keith from Steamy Streamers. I only played it last year, and I played the 360 version, and in places the 360 version looks better than the remaster. So the remaster, in some places the lighting is not as like moody, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like where you would have like a spotlight on something, you can kind of see the area around it in the remaster as well, you know, and things aren't as atmospheric. And it does look a bit better, but I think power through. Because once you get to, it's just so good. Once you get to the farmhouse,
I'll
the story really takes off. Then there's like 3-4 other people come in. that know about the enemy you're trying to fight, basically. And they're then you realize that you're not like hallucinating and it's all kind of, yeah, it's very complicated. But you'll get to the ending and then you'll be like, right, need to look up a video explaining what the fuck just happened. Because
that's
kind
a good
of,
selling point for a game.
Yeah, it's fleshed like, out like, a bit more in the DLC. So when you play this Alan Wake's American Nightmare, it's fleshed out a lot more in that than what actually happened. This is kind of like a post to the game, basically.
That's like me playing 300 hours of Elden Ring and not knowing what the
hell
is
exactly
going on.
Exactly the same. So you're well used to it, so no problems.
Are the same, actually, because, like, I mean, you know, obviously I'm kind of dabbling back into World of Warcraft, and I am just, and the same even now with Kingdom of Deliverance, like, I just in such a habit of skipping cutscenes, and I'm just like, what
Man,
is going
it's
on
such
here?
A terrible even, habit. It's such a terrible habit. It's not like an attention span thing either, because you'll sit there reading emails or books in the game for 10, 15 minutes, and then a cutscene comes on, you're like, nah, fuck this.
I just want to play. So that's where I'm kind of at now, I think. I have to get better at actually...
You can't skip the cutscenes in Alan Wake, because you won't know what's happening.
Exactly, yeah. What was I saying? Yeah, no, because like I have Alan Wake 2 queued and ready to go. So I'll finish Alan Wake now. Same like when I was saying like with World of Warcraft as well, like that's 15 years of a game, but I still don't even know what the full story is about. Like I couldn't tell you chronologically what is going on between everything. But it's just, yeah. So you're going to check out Prototype.
And you're going to finish Alan Wake. Yeah. I started Prey as well, based on your recommendation, and I'm really enjoying this. I'm quite early on, but it really... I played it before, and you know what's weird? Sometimes you're just not in the right headspace for a game, regardless of like what the style is. It's not that it's too heavy, it's not that it's too light, it's just like, I'm not really feeling this. And you're just kind of like, nah, I played that, didn't really like it. And that's kind of what happened with Prey. I played it, and I was kind of not really feeling it, and I was fucking about for 2 hours, and then I was like, ah, fuck this, can't be bothered. And then within 40 minutes of actually like concentrating and playing it, I was past where I was with the 2 hours before. And like just more in the zone, more reading emails, more like, you know, like you, I was kind of skipping past emails. I was like, oh, I don't really care. Then didn't know what was going on. And then it kind of wasn't getting a lot out of it. And where I stopped playing is where like the twist really starts coming into it. Without spoiling anything for anyone, but we'll do a full episode on it once I finish it. It's there's some content there for sure,
and it is, and I suppose it is certainly one of my favorite sci-fi games, just because. And it is, look, I think it's not perfect. I don't think any game out there can be perfect from start to finish. You say that they've done everything right, but I certainly think a game, because I remember actually when Prey, I thought it was very cheeky. Do you know about the backstory with Prey?
No.
So there was a Prey out before. Like kind of Prey.
This I know. I played this. And this is a good game in itself.
Yeah. And then they were going to release Prey 2, which was by the same developer. Mm-hmm. And the game was nearly finished by all accounts. And like, I'll get the trailer. And dude, when you see this trailer, you're like, this is from how long ago? And it looks phenomenal. But basically the route that they were going to go down was bounty hunting. And it just reminds me of the Mandalorian series, when you kind of put down the bounty puck and you see that kind of hollow and it looks phenomenal. And the company was either bought out and then they just killed the company and the game was pulled. But the cheek then, I'm not sure it was probably EA bought it out, but the cheek of them that they basically killed their game and then they employed Arkane Studios then to make the game, and they just boldly called it Prey. So they kind of I'll send you on. There's actually a really good kind of not a documentary, but there's kind of a good video covering it, and it's just interesting. It is kind of very kind of giving them the middle finger, like, and saying,
"I
well,
always
we're still going to release
this." They're both the same name, but they're completely unrelated.
Yeah, I just thought it was quite cheeky, like.
Yeah,
but it is like I think. Look. The game I really enjoyed. Like I said, I love when you kind of, the same with like Bioshock and Prey, and many games do it when you're picking up audio vlogs and you can kind of hear it in the background as you're kind of playing.
Yeah.
Or there's kind of, I like kind of quirky things, like when you're going under desks and you can see like post-it notes with codes for the computer. There's multiple ways to attack a situation, which I love when games do. It's not just so linear.
Which is what happens in Metro a lot, because you don't speak in Metro, so it's mostly what other people are saying. but you're, you know, you're sneaking past two guards, kind of like in Metal Gear Solid as well. And you hear like a conversation going on about something that's happening. And then you're like, oh, what's that about? And then you get like, you know, 10 minutes further down, you hear someone else talking about like the same thing and you get a little more info. It's kind of cool, you know? I like that kind of, that.
No cutscenes.
It's not really, yeah, it's not really environmental storytelling, but it's kind of like storytelling on the go, kind of, if that makes sense.
Yeah. What was your second one, so?
My second one was, and this is like probably one of, I don't know why this wasn't in like most nostalgic games. I don't think I mentioned it, but this was like unlocking so many memories. So I went back and played all of these games, just tried them for like an hour or so. So Wolverine's Revenge I tried out. That's a tough play these days because it's a bit janky compared to like a modern day Arkham series or something. But going back to Spider-Man, this, Spider-Man is number two, by the way. So Spider-Man, but the, not the 2000 Spider-Man, but the sequel to that specifically. So Spider-Man Enter Electro. Have you played this?
What was that on? No.
This was on PS1. So they made Spider-Man on PS1, and then they made Spider-Man Enter Electro, which was like the second game. And this was like Spider-Man 1, but a bit more fleshed out, a bit more polished. It plays the exact same, but like you have better suits, you have better abilities, you have, it's just a better game. So I had to go with
experience.
That. Yeah, but it's going back. It just took me back to like early games and so many things I forgot. Like I played it on the handheld. I had the Ambernic and it just started the game. And then I just saw like cheats as like an option on the menu. And I was like, when you used to type in cheats, and the cool thing is if you type a swear word into the cheats, then like if you type, you know, fuck or shit or whatever, then Spider-Man appears, shoots it with a web, and then it like falls over.
All right.
And it only happens if you type
fighting
a,
again.
Yeah, so only if you type in a swear word. If you type in like, you know, broccoli or bread and it's not a cheat code, it just goes like, eh-er. But when you type in like a swear word, he shows up and on screen and like web slings it. And I think in the first one, he just shows up and punches it. It's kind of a cool little Easter egg. But to unlock everything in the game, the cheat code is Eel Nats, which is Stan Lee backwards, which is quite cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And also, Stan Lee voices everything in the game, so he's like the narrator. So he's
nice.
Do you know, he's like, hello, web slingers, cool, and like, you know, hello, Marvel fans, and like all these kind of buzzwords.
Well, he probably sounds really young then in that, because...
Yeah, quite young and quite sharp, quite like loud, you know. And that was just always cool when you... Because we used to watch the cartoons and stuff, you know, and you'd always have like Stan Lee having cameos in them as characters and stuff. And then just you start the game and it's like, we join our Spidey hero today. And it's like Stan Lee talking, you know, and it's just really cool. But a lot of the characters were voiced by the same people as the cartoon. So like Spider-Man, Venom, Carnage, Kingpin, Black Cat, they're all the same voice actors from the cartoon. So this was like a direct, like this was like a licensed game basically from the cartoon.
That's really cool.
Rather than a direct comic translation. And
but it's nice because I think you kind of like you... I think you better uptake on something when you're so familiar with it through watching cartoons, and then you kind of transition into the game and it's the same for you mentally. Like
You're
in that environment.
I always remember just getting the cool suits. Like you had like the future Spider-Man, you could be the black Spider-Man. And every time you had a suit, there was different abilities with the suit. So you could do different things based on the suit you unlocked, and you could play them any level. PS1, yeah. And you could play them in any level. So, you know, if you're like Venom, you have like, I can't remember exactly, but you're super strong. You can jump higher and stuff. And basically, you can do that then in any level. So it's not limited to, oh, this is the part where you get the black suit and you can double jump, but you need it for all these areas. And you can kind of cheese a lot of bosses and a lot of levels going back and replaying them with the suits. So there was a lot of replayability. You play through the story and then you could go back, try out all the different suits and stuff. So I spent a lot of hours playing that, but it was awesome. I'd highly recommend it. You had the Ambernic now as well. You got one. You got the OLED one.
Yeah.
Check it out, man. PS1 games look gorgeous on the Ambernic. Because, you know, when you play them on a TV now, they look quite blurred and quite, like, blocky.
Because, they're trying to upscale.
Yeah, yeah. So when you transfer them back to that really clean, crisp, tiny screen, it's just like a PSP or something. You know, it just looks so suited to the screen. It's amazing. But yeah, check it out. That's everything I have to say about Spider-Man.
I remember like the only Spider-Man game I would have played was, and because I had actually noted The Amazing Spider-Man, I think it was Spider-Man 2, came out in 2004.
Yeah. So there was the Amazing Spider-Man, and then there was Spider-Man 2. There were two different ones.
So, all right, so Spider-Man 2 was the one I bought.
This
I can't remember if
this
I had...
This was really good. This was like a really, really good game. Spider-Man actually, 3,
navigating
not so
around
much.
The city. I didn't play Spider-Man 3.
It was a bit of a mess in terms of story. It was all over the place. Didn't make much sense. It was a rushed effort.
Like the film.
Yeah, like the film.
Spider-Man 3 film was weird.
It was worse. It's worse. It's like jumping around the movie. Things happen before they should, and it's chaos. Absolute chaos.
Tobey Maguire having a meltdown inside in the cafe was just the weirdest thing in a film. Do you not remember that?
No.
I'll send a clip to you. But in Spider-Man 3, the film, he's kind of getting influenced by Venom because he's his...
Yes.
So I'm not sure is Venom actually taking control of him, but basically he basically has a meltdown inside in a cafe. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hair is all disheveled and down, and
he's all
in black, and he's kind of like getting up on the table and he's kicking plates and things off. But it's just a weird sequence. I was just like, what is this? Like, just kind of gave me the cringe.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
So the Amazing Spider-Man 2, I remember that being quite a good game. My second one actually, and it kind of feel hypocritical putting it down only because I haven't finished it, but the God of War, like,
interesting. Is that a superhero game?
But he has abilities. He slays gods.
That's a weird
one.
More
of an existential event. Why?
I don't know.
Google it. Is
like, is The Witcher a superhero game?
Is Thor? Well, wouldn't he be? He has abilities.
Yeah,
he
but
does.
Superhero. I don't know.
He has magic, and he.
Consumes... I don't know.
He would be.
It's a weird
would
one.
He... See, we have to actually define exactly.
If James Bond is a superhero, anyone passes as a superhero.
See, that is... Well, if Judge Dredd passes as a superhero.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
all he has is the hot shot gun.
It's like, weapon. Then, is your man in Dune a superhero?
Who?
Dune. Yeah, Dune, the movie. Is that a superhero movie then?
All right, look, we'll sidestep God of War.
Maybe we scrap the episode and we do a full episode. What is a superhero game?
We'll do that one. Yeah, what is a superhero?
Go on, let's count God of War. I think that counts. That's like,
well, he has abilities.
But then it's like, is Jedi Fallen Order, is that a superhero game?
No, but I mean, it's like that. That's like saying that Thor isn't a superhero because he's also a god.
Fuck it, that's a good point.
Is Superman a hero because
he's just an alien? Yeah. No, like, we'll count God of War. I just never really thought of it like that.
I would have.
Is Assassin's Creed a superhero game?
See, because I guess
he doesn't have powers. He doesn't have powers. So.
No, he doesn't. I wouldn't have said... Nah, I wouldn't have said heat. Yeah, because...
No, look, we'll count it. It's your interpretation of a superhero game, so it'll be different for both of us.
We'll open that to discussion. If anyone agrees or disagrees, we'd love to hear. Okay. Would you consider the God of War series a superhero series?
Okay.
I liked it because...
I
love Norse mythology. I just... It's class. Mm-hmm. And just the Viking setting... Loved all the abilities. The storytelling is phenomenal. The environment is ridiculous. And the voice acting is just top tier. Have you played God of War?
No. I have it on PS2 here, but I've never actually played it the whole way through. I think I've played a little bit just at the start and that was it. And I don't know, I enjoyed it, but I just never went back to it. But my friends were obsessed with God of War when I was growing up. And I don't know, I never really took to it. I don't know. I never really gave it a chance. Not that I didn't take to it. I never gave it a chance. You know, I just didn't have that game growing up. So it wasn't easy to buy every game, you know. I just didn't
have it. It's another one of those games where it looks so phenomenal for a game that was released X amount of time ago.
Sure. And I do like the Norse mythology because Age of Mythology is like one of my favorite strategy games. And that's based on all the mythology,
again,
like Greek mythology and Norse mythology and all that.
Take my Steam account. And unless it's cheap, pick it up. If not, then just take my Steam account, log in, download it. Even just play, the first couple of, play 2 hours of it and just have a feel for the environment. It is nuts.
I have it on the PS2, so I can't play the original one at the moment. So I might dive into that.
I think a different feel for game. It's like, you know, I think the original one was kind of near not top down, but it was your back.
Yeah, it was kind of fixed, changing perspective, if that makes sense. So the camera would move, but you didn't really control it, kind of like Dante's Inferno and these type of games.
Like you can threw me for a loop now with that one. God of War. I also put down Guardians of the Galaxy. I know we discussed it off camera the last day, but it's a game I actually want you to try. Like a game just on the atmosphere alone, just the setting, different biomes, phenomenal, very, very
detailed. This is based on more like the comic universe rather than the movie. It's not a one-for-one movie adaptation.
No, kind of is movie. Like all the characters are in it.
But they're not styled in the same way and voiced in the same way. It's not a licensed movie.
There.
Are they?
There.
Okay.
But like they've done like the mechanics in the game, they've done it in other games, but they've really executed well here. So it's kind of like when you're attacking, you have your own set abilities and you might pull in, you can basically tag in your teammates. So you'll have all of them there. So you'll have Gamora, you'll have Drax,
You play only as Star-Lord and then you can tag in the team members.
I can't even remember. Can you swap? No, I think you're only Star-Lord, but you basically tag team them in so you can tag in. You can control them, actually. I think you can control them. You control them for doing certain sequences.
Oh, okay. So you can tag them in and then you control them for X amount of time and then they're back out again or something.
No, wait, no, you can't. So there's things in the game. So let's say you have to get something heavy moved so you can all navigate up to a higher area. You get Drax in because he's strong and he'll basically perform that task.
Okay.
But the story is quite good. The atmosphere is just like unreal. Like as in probably one of the best looking games I've played in a long time.
I need to check that out.
No joke. And it went so under the radar and there's humor in it and it's just... It was actually a really, really good experience playing it. Do you know, it's not a game that you're like, oh yeah, this is just a throwaway movie made into a game. It's up there with like the likes of Batman and Spider-Man. Like, as in,
then I got
really,
check
really
it out.
Good.
But yeah. I think that's happening with a lot of games lately because they release and then they're, you know, day one they're in complete shit. Like Cyberpunk kind of went under the radar in a way. It happened with the second Jedi game, Jedi Survivor, also released in shit. And then, like, there's all this hype built up, and then day one release, everyone's disappointed. The game gets forgotten about.
Survivor
then, like,
was good. Outlaws was shit.
No, Survivor, when it released, was in complete shit.
Was it?
Yeah, like on PC. Not
maybe on PC.
On PC, it was unplayable, but on Xbox, I think it also had a lot of bugs, I think.
I never had any.
No,
maybe I was lucky. I was probably lucky because I remember even in Assassin's Creed Unity, people just ripped the hell out of that game for it being bugs and laggy. I had nothing. Perfect playthrough.
There you go.
No issues.
You got lucky.
Now, cutscenes, I think something with Ubisoft games, I find that their cutscenes seem to lag their speech.
Mm-hmm.
Well, me, I don't watch cutscenes, so no.
How would you know?
That's why I wasn't bugging.
You have no idea what you're talking about. Can we get someone in here who's ever watched the cutscene, please, to explain it?
So, no, I think, all right, we can put Guardians of the Galaxy and God of War kind of joined too. So,
right,
if you don't consider God of War as
I'm just raising the important questions.
It was your words.
I just don't want us to release an episode and be completely embarrassed in public, you know? But
Google it, quick.
No. It's fine.
All right, you're number one. I know you're number one.
I mean, we haven't mentioned it yet, so you know what it's got to be. It's got to be there for you as well. It's got to be at least one of the games in the Arkham series.
Yes, am I right? Batman. Yeah, it has to be.
Which one did you pick out of the four possible Arkham games?
I can't even remember. What was the first one that was released? Was Asylum?
The first one was Asylum, and that's mainly when you're in Arkham Asylum. And I haven't played through the whole first one. So I jumped in at the second one, basically.
So it must have been City, so is where I kind of must have jumped in. Because I'm playing Asylum now, and I don't remember playing it.
I'd say you probably haven't. So for me...
Oh, no. Do you know what one I'm playing actually is Return to Arkham?
Yeah, but it's just that's a remaster. One I'm
is it? No.
Yeah, Return to Arkham has Return to Arkham Asylum and Return to Arkham City. So it's just a remaster of the two games.
All right. Well, whatever it is, like, because I know I haven't played it because the art style is so different. Like, the menus is very comic-booky.
Okay. Yes,
played it. So, it's weird. So, City must have been where you've got, like, you end up going up against the Croc?
I don't know. I think so. I think you fight almost everyone in City. You fight like the Penguin, the Riddler.
That's my
but
favorite.
But the Riddler isn't called Riddler. He's called Enigma in City, I think.
All right.
So he's just Edward Enigma instead of the Riddler. So it could be that one. So do you remember flying around Arkham City?
Flying?
Like, you know, being around Arkham City, driving around it. Yeah, then you played Arkham City because Arkham Asylum is only set in the asylum, basically.
Yeah, so that's what I'm playing now. So I've never played that one before.
Okay, I didn't either. So I jumped in the same as you into Arkham City. This was a really tough choice for me. It was between Arkham City and Arkham Origins, right? And I did jump back into both of them recently. So I played Asylum a little bit. I played Arkham City a little bit. Knight, I'm not really a big fan of. Arkham Knight, the last one.
Enjoyed it, but yeah, I thought it was a bit, you know, you're getting into these kind of, it dragged. And there was areas as well. Like, I actually thought I'd finished the game and I actually jumped back into, then I was like, I'm nowhere near finished. I think I was doing side quests because I either got stuck at a point, but I just remember like these really being annoying when you got kind of seen and then all those little kind of drones kept coming in and I was just
bugged me. Yeah.
And it was the same kind of
annoying.
Yeah. So City, yeah. So you were saying City and Origin, you jump back
into. So yes, City and Origin I jump back into. And Asylum I'm playing through recently, but I've like tried a few times now to keep it going and it's very slow to kind of get going. Like it's a long slog at the start. And I think the reason I like Arkham Origins so much, I jump back into that and like straight away there's like a small cutscene and then you're like into the action, you know, and like you're straight in, you have a boss fight within like 10, 15 minutes, like a kind of tutorial boss fight. And I think the pace is just so much quicker. There's a few things I prefer in Origins. So in Origins, I think Bruce Wayne is better in Origins. I think I know like he's not the official comic book actor, but I think he's really good in Origins. There's a different actor does him. So not Kevin Conroy, the guy who does him in the cartoons. It's yeah, unfortunately. But wait to drop the mood.
Just acknowledge it.
So he doesn't voice him in Origins. It's a different guy, but he does a really good job. And what I like about it is there's like constantly cutscenes between Bruce and Alfred. And there's constantly like tension between them. And like there's some really dramatic cutscenes between the two of them where like Alfred is like screaming at him and stuff. And this is something you don't really see in the other games. It's always just like Alfred on the radio is this background person, you know, or the Oracle, which becomes Batgirl, is there. And I think in this, it fleshes out their relationship a lot more and like how selfish Batman can be sometimes and stuff. And it's just really cool. It's such a good game.
I must check and see. Because I've obviously, if I have it on the Xbox. I must see if I actually have Origins. I think I do.
So basically, it's not his origin. So Batman is like early in the story, let's say, but it's not his origin story. It's actually the origins of all the villains in it. So he's meeting all the villains for the first time. You go through and like Black Mask is like the overarching villain. And then you have like, you see the Croc, then you see the Penguin, then you see Two-Face, and you're meeting them all for like the first time, basically. So it's really good. I like it a lot.
I think they've made such a mistake calling everything Arkham in the title because that's why I'm so kind of thrown. I'm just like, which one was it again?
And even especially the games, when it's like the games are not that different themselves, so it's very easy to mix up what happened in one versus what happened in the other.
It's the same Gotham.
Yeah.
That exactly it. So my top game is Batman as well, and it's just I think like because it also kind of falls into kind of like stealth genre because I just love
absolutely
taking out everyone, you know, sneaky. Getting into grates and blowing out walls and, you know.
You could have all this
silent takedowns.
You have like all this setup first and then you can do all these triggers at the same time, like blow through the wall, then swoop down and grab someone, then throw a batarang at someone else. No, it's really good. I also liked in City that you could do the unlockable Batmobiles and you can actually get the suit and the Batmobile from the 1989 Batman.
Yeah.
And when you get the 1989 Batmobile, you can't go like side to side anymore like you can. Maybe this is an Arkham Knight. Because they didn't have the ability to go side to side, so you can't do it anymore, which is pretty cool.
Is it Knight you get the motorbike?
Yes.
Or is it?
Very vehicle-based, cool. And some of the scenes are very long and tedious. You have to like fight like 8 tanks, and you're just kind of slowly picking them off, and you're hiding into cover, coming back out.
Yeah.
And it really takes you out of the flow, I think. But did you ever play Batman Begins, which was on like the PS2, Xbox, and GameCube? This was based on the movie, basically. The Batman Begins movie from the Dark Knight trilogy. No. This was really good. It's like, it's kind of like the, I would say like very close to the inspiration for the Arkham series. It's not like the same level at all. But when you take like the time it was made and everything, it has like the stealth, it has the takedown moves, it has like a good story. It's really worth playing even today. It's really good. But it follows obviously the Batman Begins story. So like it's nothing new if you've seen the movie in terms of story. So you could skip the cutscenes.
Yeah, but it's still good though.
It should be interesting for you.
Yes, finally.
But what's interesting is all the kind of small things in those games. Like Arkham City had so much detail in the environment and replayability. One of the things was if you're swooping around the city, right? Obviously in Arkham City, the whole thing is that the Joker is in your head and you're hallucinating and seeing him everywhere, you know? So sometimes you'd like climb up a ledge to a building. You'd be completely unsuspecting in like free roam. You'd be like climbing up a building and you jump over the top of the building and then he's like, hello, bats! And you're like, Jesus fucking Christ! And I think they were very cleverly put in because they can happen anywhere and it's like, you know, just dropped into whatever moment you're in. But what's interesting is you can, I remember this as a kid, right? You'd fly past a billboard or something, you know, and it would look like a billboard for the Joker. You know, it would be like a billboard for like a barber's, but then the Joker would be there with like a knife instead of the scissors or something. And then you'd be flying past it and you'd see this thing and then you'd be like, what the fuck was that? And you'd go back and you'd be like, it's just a normal billboard with like a barber advertisement. But they had this in the game that when you fly past things, the billboards look like the Joker. And this is like loads of different ads. Like, you know, it could be for toothpaste or like a casino or something. And he's in all of them. And then as soon as you go past, or you go back to see it, it's back to normal. Which is really weird. Like, it's so good, so good. And it's something you wouldn't even notice playing it the first time, probably.
And it's Mark Hamill voices the Joker in all the games.
Yeah, all of them.
Or there's, what's the other one? Troy Baker is the other guy who does Joker. I'm not sure was he in it for one of them.
Arkham Origins.
He does
I don't know. Did Mark Hamill?
He does a good Joker voice, but no one can top Mark Hamill.
No. It's like if you
wouldn't you love to be able to do that voice?
Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill together are just incredible.
Just iconic.
Incredible. Iconic. And like, what's funny is when I was watching Batman the cartoon as a kid growing up, I never realized that Mark Hamill was the voice because it's so insanely different from his normal voice.
Yeah.
Did you know that he does was the voice actor?
Oh, I did, for quite a long time, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He does quite a good different voices. He does a few different voices for different things.
Yeah.
Can't even think off the top of my head, but I know he does.
No, he does
but
a lot of
But he was always Joker in the cartoons.
Yeah. He'll always be Joker in my head. Like, it's Mark Hamill and it's Kevin Conroy. That's just the way it is. There's one excellent thing, actually, which is Kevin Conroy reading a Batman comic. It's a video on YouTube. And it's just
he does
so
the Killing Dream.
Yes.
But he does it as Santa Claus. The Killing Joke, yeah. Sorry, Killing Joke. But he does it as Santa Claus.
No, I think we're thinking of something different. This one I haven't seen.
Wait, is it Santa? Wait. Oh, no, he does it as, he does it as Star Wars. He does it as Darth Vader. Did you look at that one?
No. You need to send me this. You need to send me
that. I'll send you that. That's what it was. I don't know why I said Santa. So he does the killing, not the killing joke, but he does the Joker as Darth Vader.
Okay.
So he does the scene where
I'm struggling to understand this.
He does where Luke finds out that the Joker is his father.
Okay.
Well,
right,
I'll show
you
the clip.
This is confusing. Just send me this. Then we can talk about it coherently. That was kind of my top one. I think the Arkham games, just like unlimited replayability. I think Arkham City as well was the first game I played, which took like hours and hours and hours and hours of my time. That was the first game I remember that was like 40, 50, 60
there,
hours.
There was extra things in it too. It's not like you had to collect, like you collect the Riddler trophies and you do those kind of puzzles, but there's a lot of just side quests and
you collect the Riddler trophies in City, right? And then in Arkham Origins, they weren't allowed to put in the Riddler trophies because they wanted to do this in Arkham Knight. So you can have some riddles, but there's no Riddler trophies. And at the very end of the game, there's just a room you can walk into just randomly. And there's just a trophy sitting on a table. a Riddler trophy, and you can go and you pick it up, and it's just to get you that satisfaction of getting the Riddler trophies because they couldn't include them in the game, which is quite nice.
That's really cool. That's nice. Yeah. So yeah, I just think it's one of those things with games, like they just seem to have been developed better. Like there was a real sense of like this is for the player, kind of, in terms of progression. And it's not to say, I mean, you still get that. It's just, I just think there's just real care put into them, you know. They weren't released half-baked, or there was no such thing as day one patches for these kind of games. It was just, they were just good from the get-go. Like.
No, absolutely.
So that's it, so.
So yeah, I think we can leave it there for this one, or?
We're going to jump off, and I'll send you those clips. And
we shall
jump on for a couple of games of... Well, you and Space Marines, so we'll go with that.
I'm fucking deep addicted. I'm in a dark place with Space Marines.
Yeah, you're so addicted. I was like, what, level 15 or 14? And then you jumped on and it was like, you're like level 5 or 6 and now you've already surpassed.
Yeah.
You're level 25.
Learn your place, okay? Learn your place. Man, I'm in a dark place with Space Marines at the moment. It's like... It's so addictive for me. It's the difficulty spike, man. It's the going, because it reminds me of like playing Gears of War on top difficulty or Jedi Fallen Order on top difficulty. And like, it's almost like Dark Souls-y kind of thing, but the combat is just so satisfying. And it's just like, right now I'm going for like Lethal, which is like there's 6 difficulties and Lethal is the second highest and you can't do the highest until you unlock Lethal. And it's just too tough, man. I go through like there's 9 operations and I'm doing the second one because I'm invested in this now. And then once I finish the second one, you get to do all of this again with the other operations. And then there'll probably be new operations out. But the second one, man, I want to get to the end and I want to beat it. But this last boss is
I think you just need a good team.
Yeah, I think so. You need also a good combination of the types of your Marine that you're choosing. You know, if all three are long distance, it doesn't work. If all three are close combat, it doesn't work. So... It's
I must look up and see is what's relevant to, because I think, like I said, I know I played a sniper, but I do think he's extremely
not the most useful.
Well, he gives everyone a damage buff.
Yeah.
I can stealth res.
Yeah. I think you need to see all the abilities of a fully unlocked like class before you decide, you know, because you look at like
that's
the sniper
and leveling him up.
Then you jump into tactical and you're like, oh yeah, but the sniper has all these benefits, but you don't know what the tactical has yet. So it's kind of difficult to say.
But yeah. Right, I'm going to send you those clips.
We're rambling.
And we can cut it then. So I'll send you on those clips and I'll look up a quick kind of what's a decent character to level in Space Marines and I'll jump on, we'll level him then.
What we can do is do the higher difficulty and I'll carry you. Do the slightly higher difficulty. I'll carry you through and then you'll get loads of XP and you'll level up in no time.
Yeah, he'll level up in no time.
Job done. All right, sure. We'll leave it there then. And thanks for listening. And also, rate us 5 stars. We have 6 of them, which is quite good.
If you're
listening, do the rating. It means a lot to our egos and also for the podcast.
And any constructive criticism, we're always open. Thank you for listening.
Not too much.
And we'll catch you in the next episode. Not too much, yeah. We're sensitive.
All right, we'll leave it there. So, ciao, ciao.
Bye-bye.